No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Friend of the program, Brian Christofferson, is back with us today. Great to see you, BC. How are we doing?
I'm doing swell. How are you guys?
We're doing great. It's Michigan Week, baby. We're ready to rock and roll for Michigan Week. Hey, real quick, get to the Common Fan website, www.commonfan.co. Subscribe on YouTube, like this episode, sign up for the newsletter, follow all the social media accounts, and generally keep up with all the fun and frivolity of the Common Fans. Also, Common Fans, you know, game day is not complete without delicious Nebraska beef. And if you really want to upgrade your spread this season, Oak Barn Beef has got you covered. They ship premium Nebraska-raised beef straight from their family farm in Nebraska to your door. And that's anywhere nationwide. Steaks, roast, ground beef, you name it. Order online at oakbarnbeef.com. That's oakbarnbeef.com. And make every tailgate or watch party a little more memorable. All right, let's jump right in. BC, the Huskers are 3-0. No one is arguing with that. Obviously, the last two games have been what we might call tune-ups. And I think there's something to be taken from these two games in that Nebraska has done, you know, what we haven't always done and took care of these lesser opponents handily. But is there an argument to be made that it would have been more helpful to have Cincinnati be the game right before Michigan?
Probably. Maybe the second game. How about that? Right in the middle. Sandwich it. That's what I kind of thought. But, you know, it is what it is. And I do think the team showed some maturity that maybe we haven't seen, as you were getting at, in the past, in the last two games, to be able to basically have your starters out at halftime last week. And what's been enjoyable is the second team guys have come in and continued it. I mean, so often you watch those blowout games through the years, and TJ Lateef obviously plays a big part in this, but the score will be like 45-0 going in the fourth quarter, and it ends up like 45-7. It's just like sort of nothingness in the fourth quarter, and it hasn't felt that way the last 2 weeks because those reserves have come in ready to go with a spirited halftime speech by Matt Rhule mixed in week two, and Lateef's look good. So I think the last 2 weeks probably have been more important, though, behind the scenes, like on those Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays, what's happening with those D linemen? Are they actually getting a little bit better each day to lead into a game like this one?
Yeah.
M.O. Geoff, go ahead.
You want me to go? Okay. I got a question lined up here for you. Sorry, BC.
No, that's all right.
It's no secret. Like we saw in the Cincinnati game, a little leaky on the run defense, especially when with their mobile quarterback getting loose towards the end of that game. They're kind of running the ball at will at us. I think I already know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask you, since you're the pro, how concerned do we need to be about containing Bryce Underwood or Justice Haynes in their running game in general? Is that a concern for us this week?
I think it's a question to answer. I don't go into this game like with pessimism isn't the way I would label it about the defensive line in the front. It's more so curiosity. Like, I'm intrigued to see how much they've grown, how they respond to a team in Michigan that, let's face it, they're a program. If they have to, they will line up. I'm not saying this is going to happen by any means, but they will line up and run the ball 75% of the time if they want to. They did that against USC a year ago. Their quarterback situation was different, but they beat USC in the Big House with one arm tied behind their back, just running three basic run plays. And so I'm sure, you know, they've done all the research on Nebraska. They're going to test this front of the Huskers that has a lot of newcomers, a lot of younger guys who haven't played as much football. And I think just as much, Jeff, that second level for this defense has to play really well. You know, you've got to have Shavers, Watson Trent, you know, Javen Wright, who's got amazing personal stories, come back to play in games like this as a seventh-year Husker. Deshaun, you know, Deshaun McCullough is going to be a big guy. They've got to hit their run fits, those middle backers especially, and not let what you're kind of speaking on, a 3 or 4 yard run turn into a 35 yard run, because we've all seen those plays that can get you in a game like this where a guy is a step out of place and it's a play where you watch it back on replay. It could have been a 2 yard play. Instead, it's a house call. So you just have to be so dialed in and not get fooled by some of the eye candy that they're going to do formationally and stuff like that. And really have a disciplined game. And it's going to require those first two levels, especially to really work in concert well together.
Amen.
BC, I think most common fans have an idea of what Michigan's going to be like, and we have an idea of what their strengths are. But how does Nebraska's strengths on our team compare to Michigan's? Like what kind of matchups are you looking for? I mean, we kind of have an idea of what, you know, we're curious, like we said, about our defense and how they'll hold up in the run game. But what do you have any thoughts on that strength versus strength or strength versus weakness type?
Right. Yeah. Cause we have a way of looking at it. I think every fan base does, where you're always kind of concentrated on what you're not good at and not thinking about like where you can actually gain the advantage sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I thought John Butler had an interesting answer. You know, Michigan's O-line, they're 15th in rushing, but they've had a couple of cupcake type games on their schedule too, that have helped their stats. And they're traditionally very good in the trenches, but I do think they have a spot or two on that O-line that Nebraska's probably dissected that they can maybe take advantage of, and we'll see if they can. And then the secondary for Nebraska, I mean, I know the competition, feels like we always got to say that as a precursor to everything the last 2 weeks, but to hold three teams to less than 70 passing yards in the year of 2025 in football is quite a stat.
Yep.
Now, the thing that's going to be key, I think Nebraska can cover. I think it's a strength for Nebraska against something that still needs proving for Michigan. Their wide receivers have been okay, but they haven't jumped off the page. So you'd love Nebraska to really flex in their coverage in this game, where you feel like Sierre and Andrew Marshall and Donnie Jones can just handle those guys on the outside. And then that opens up so many options for you. But what Michigan's going to try to do, and Butler talked about it this week, they're going to try to get you to maximize your number of guys in the box with that run game. And then you might be able to cover them really well for 98% of the time. But there's that one play where you get caught, you know, thinking about the run, they sneak it over the top. It's a 60-yard touchdown. So that's the play I think you're guarding against in a game where one explosive for either side, I sort of think could shift it, you know, because I do think it's going to be a bit of a slog at times.
Right. Well, you just as a I don't want to say novice. I mean, we don't know half or even 1/4 of the football that a lot of these guys have been around their whole lives. But you know, the part of me says, well, you know what? They're gonna run Underwood and they're gonna try to pound it. Let's put nine guys in the box. But what you just said, I think, is the concern with that. It's like, well, just when you keep putting eight or nine in the box and stopping the run, they're gonna try to go over the top. So it's a chess match, BC.
No, I hear you, Maddie. I consider myself a very much a layperson on that stuff, and I always try to learn what I can. But this brain takes in a minimal amount. But Bryce Underwood is an interesting quarterback because he had 114 rushing yards last week on nine carries. Now, six or seven of his nine runs were freelance plays, like off schedule. You know, and so you got to guard against that. That's a real thing. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's designed or not. If he gets 35 yards on it, it still dings you pretty good. And so Nebraska's really got to be disciplined, I think, with their rush lanes in this game and cage him in better than obviously they did against Sorsby. I don't think he's quite the runner as Sorsby, but he's enough of one to keep you at bay. And it's got to be something Nebraska's fixed over the last few weeks for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we can certainly agree that that's probably the number one concern is just stopping the run game and containing the quarterback. And speaking of rushing, it's no secret. We've seen what Emmett Johnson can provide for us, especially over the last two games. Workhorse, he's getting most of the touches. So we're definitely going to expect him to get the ball a ton in the Michigan game. He's going to get a lot of touches, and we're going to need him to get a lot of touches. But he's going to need a break every once in a while. What's the running back situation behind Emmett looking like these days?
Oh, no. I don't think that cleared up for us, do you? I mean, the last couple of weeks, Quentin Ives sort of pops up as the number two guy last weekend, even though he was actually listed as fourth on the paper. Mackay not playing was a coach's decision. Isaiah Mosey has actually been kind of moved out to like the slot receiver, like,
yeah.
I mean, where he sort of was when he started in the spring in a way. Because of the Bonner injury, which I do think has after effects, by the way, and is a guy I think they miss in a game like this a lot, Bonner. But yeah, I don't know if it's going to be Ives or if Mackay Nelson's back. That hasn't been said yet. They said they were going to let it practice play out this week and determine that. It feels like to me a 30 touch game for Emmett Johnson, sort of like Arrowhead. And but when whoever comes in second, just hang on to the freaking ball. We've seen that before where a guy comes in for his three touches and one of them's a giveaway on the 18-yard line, and that'll just doom you in a game like this. So that, I mean, as much as anything, not that I don't want to see him get something done and break one, but like ball security, please, first and foremost.
Sure.
Amen. BC, I felt like Coach Rule's comment about why Mackay Nelson didn't play, didn't really answer the question and was kind of cryptic. Do we have any sense of why? I mean, was it disciplinary? Was there something going on behind the scenes? Or was it seems odd that he just wouldn't play unless there was more to the story.
Yeah, I don't want to speak out of school, but I think even in the off season, there were just some things, you know, I don't know if it's academics, class stuff where you want to take care of your business, you know, and I'm not saying that's the case this week, but that was earlier. That was the talk before the summer, and Mackay really responded well to it. And that's how he put himself over the summer and fall camp into the position he was. And so I don't know if this relates to that or not. So I can't say, but he was, I guess you'd say this, he was available. Like if they were in a pinch, they would have played him, with to me suggests he would play this week, but we'll see, you know, and you do have to run a program where whatever you've got, whatever it is that's going on, that guys know this is the standard you got to meet. They talk about that all the time, and that applies in a situation like this.
Yeah, makes sense. Yep. So the offense, you know, it's kind of cliche at this point almost, but against Cincinnati, the offense kind of took what the defense gave them. They missed a few opportunities to get points or get as many points as they could have. It was maybe good, not great performance. Then obviously they've sort of put up some video game numbers against Akron and HCU. There's a lot of talk about Nebraska's defense and can they contain Bryce Underwood? Can they, you know, stop the Michigan run game? I'm curious to get your thoughts on how well Nebraska's offense can move the ball against Michigan. I think one thing I think about a lot is the defense has really carried this entire program for 2 years, Matt Rhule's first 2 years. Now we got a lot of young guys, a lot of turnover. I'm not saying they can't be good. I don't think we quite know yet how good they can be. But sometimes, and I know this isn't, you know, maybe consistent with the entire history of Nebraska football, sometimes you just need your offense to go win you a game, right? Sometimes, like, you know, the defense is going to bust a few times and we're just going to score more points. How well do you see this Nebraska offense moving the ball on Saturday?
I think it's going to be a game that requires some patience. And in a way, the game against Cincinnati could have been a blessing in disguise, even though this is a different type of defense and animal you're attacking. But that was a game, at least mentally, that required Nebraska to have on offense that idea, like, it's not just going to happen with a 55-yard explosive play every other series, right? It's going to be a deal where you have to take sometimes what's there, know when to live for another series on occasion. And so maybe that is helpful, because at the end of the day, the last thing you want to do, kind of going back to the fumble thing, is lose the turnover battle here. But I think the biggest thing where you have optimism is Dylan's pre-snap abilities compared to a year ago, and now how he's seeing, like, okay, this is what the defense is offering up. I can switch to this, and the trust that they have in him to do that. Now, this is this is tougher competition, so we'll see how he does. But there's no question that his coaches and teammates think he's grown a lot in diagnosing that stuff. And they actually say, hey, we got to, like, catch up to him sometimes and, like, his knowledge of things. So you talk about, where does Nebraska have an edge? I don't know for sure if they will or not at QB, but you kind of hope so, right? Because he's a year two guy and they got the year one guy. And Dylan had some of those struggles or the potholes that you would expect as a true freshman. Maybe Bryce has a few of those this year. And maybe this is the time where Dylan kind of shows to a national audience how much he's grown. I do think it's interesting that you guys, I don't know if you paid attention to it, but on a lot of the offseason, like, quarterback list, there was skepticism about Ryla. He was down on a bunch of them. Like, I think The Athletic had him, like, tier four of seven tiers, you know, of QBs. And I don't know how much fuel that is for him. But the point is, there's some people who, for whatever reason, decided they knew what the book was on Dylan after 1 year of college football. And this is, make no mistake, this is a big opportunity for him in that offense to show, like, there's a lot more that's out there. And here's an example of it.
I'll be honest, I did not pay attention to that at all.
That's good. I think that's healthy for you. But unfortunately, I did. And I'm guessing they saw some of it, too. And I always wonder how much a guy processes that.
Let me be clear, Jeff. No one is surprised to hear that. Be clear about that.
No one's surprised to hear that Jeff wasn't aware of that, is what you're just to clarify.
Not
about the Dylan thing.
No one is surprised. Jeff didn't read anything.
I didn't pay attention to something.
Yeah,
I didn't
I think there's a healthy group of the fan base that tunes out for. I'm not endorsing this because it would kill our business, but there is that. Like my mom, it's like, wake me up when it's game time, you know, and I'm in.
Yep.
And so I think there's something to be said for that sometimes.
Hold on. So I don't want to open any wounds here. Are you saying your mom doesn't read your stuff regularly?
Yeah, I would say that's probably true. Maybe when it's in season, and I don't even know then. I'd have to quiz her pretty hard on that. But I think she takes the off season off.
Understandable.
Yeah. Good for her. Good to have a good balance in life.
Stress-free life.
Yeah. BC, let's switch gears over to the black shirts. Nebraska currently is top 10 nationally in total defense, scoring defense, and passing defense. Okay, given the opposition in Michigan on Saturday, you know, we can probably expect those numbers to drop a little bit, I would think. Which of those three current rankings do you think provides the most accurate reflection of John Butler's defense?
I would say the pass defensive stats, and the reason is he actually spoke this week about how they sort of changed his philosophy in how DB should cover, and their eye discipline being more on the receivers and the quarterback. has changed from when he got here. And so it's been a work in progress last year, even for how they were taught previous to his arrival and how to cover and how they're doing it now. And so that's why I give the most credence to the improvement we're seeing. Now, it's obviously not going to hold up at what they're allowing, like 3.0 yards per attempt right now, which is ridiculous. I mean, that won't stay, but right. I do think they can be top five, top 10 in pass defense when the season is over, because I legitimately believe that that's a strength of this team. I think Andrew Marshall was a great get out of the portal. I think Sierra Wright has been huge for this team and a great example of like how a guy is supposed to be when you come in from another program and how he's adopted the culture here.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances and save an additional $1,000 when you buy four select LG major appliances. Plus, get a free DeWalt 20-volt max 5-amp-hour battery when you buy a select DeWalt 20-volt max tool. Get the job done for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/26. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for more details and qualifying items.
Donovan Jones from Omaha North. I say that because I went to Omaha North, so I always throw that in. Has just like I thought in the first game gave him a spark. Like Donnie Jones, when he got in there, got a tackle right off the bat and felt like he belonged. And so Singleton, Hartsog, Buford, those are your guys who have been in this program 5 years. They should be your best players. And so I think that stat is pretty legit. Now it's sort of like journalism. If you're writing a story and you have one source that says something's true, but you want another source to confirm it, this is the type of game where like we're trying to confirm some of the things we think we know, you know, against a team that can actually burn you if you're not on your game.
Right. And the thing is with that, the numbers are so crazy right now, but you think about it, like even if that average yards given up per game tripled and they're like 180 yards a game, like that's mm-hmm. that's still pretty good pass defense. So yeah, I mean we'll take that if that's the case.
Well, you know what too, Matty, they in the spring it was kind of slipped into conversations, but after practices John Butler mentioned a couple times, I like how we're matching up one-on-one against the receivers. And so you're kind of like, that's interesting. They're going against Dane Key and Isaiah Hunter, Ja'Cory Barney. And they liked how they were covering those guys. And so, I mean, they were telling people they thought it was a strength even back in April.
Love it.
Yeah. We've covered offense, covered defense, covered the running game, quarterback. I think one thing, if you're an avid listener to the program, which I know that you are, BC, we talk about special teams quite a bit. Mm-hmm. TSD dictates that a lot. So I do have to ask you this question. We've asked every one of our guests. We're making field goals. Kanan's clutch in that regard. We're making extra points. We're actually fielding and returning punts now. Granted, we haven't seen much of Archie yet, and that's a good thing. We haven't really had to punt the ball. Is special teams fixed? Ease my anxiety here because it's been driving me nuts for years.
I don't want to say it's fixed for sure, but I feel good about it just like you guys, I'm sure, do. And I think a big part of that's just that Mike Eckler's running it. And you look at his track record at Tennessee over 4 years and you're like, okay, he got it done consistently, like top 10 in all these different stats. And also then you go watch Archie. And I know I have a bizarre amount of confidence in that kid for having punted three times as a Husker and played one, you know, I guess he got in the victory formation last week, so he's played in two games technically.
By the way, Matt Rhule has an excellent Aussie impersonation.
Yeah, that was funny. That was good. So I just go and stand there. Yeah, Archie though, I mean, go back to Arrowhead. He hits two inside the 10-yard line, and one with a 2.5 minutes in the game that makes Cincinnati have to go 92 yards. Pretty big deal. And so he's been in a big spot already in his career. The interesting thing is Michigan, I was talking to one of their writers on for their Michigan 24/7 site. They've got some worries about their special teams. They've had trouble fielding punts actually a little bit. And I don't know, ball comes off weird off that foot, banana balls and such. Who knows? Maybe one of those bounces weird, guy fields it wrong and you get the ball at the 10-yard line. That sort of break that's always went against Nebraska. You hope it kind of goes your way. I do feel good about Cunanan so far. I want to see him stop kicking the ball out of bounds. Mm-hmm. Kick return, I'm curious about because I like their overall aggressive approach. I will admit I'm kind of a fan of waving my hand and taking the ball at the 25-yard line and not getting cut down in a game like this at the 16 or risking a penalty where suddenly you're inside your own 10 and you're losing the field position battle. So I hope there's not a sequence like that that happens to Nebraska, but otherwise I do feel optimistic that they can win there.
So I just kind of, we were talking before we I'm glad that makes you feel better, Jeff.
I feel great.
We were talking before we hit record. I don't know. We've been here before. We've won a few games. The optimism sky high. We won the off season again, all those things. Right. But it just feels like there's a lot of factors that suggest why Nebraska could or should win this game. And to me, it just feels like one of those games where it's our turn to get a few breaks. It's our turn to have Michigan misplay a punt. It's our turn to have the true freshman quarterback make true freshman mistakes. Mm-hmm. It's our turn to win a game like this. And maybe not like not even by three. Maybe we could win this game by 10 points. Am I losing my mind? Do you have it as a win? Do you have it as a W?
I have it as a tight W. I get what you're saying, though. I've always believed in that theory, whether you're talking about a team that's won five or six games and trying to break through or what you're talking about in a specific game, that happens sometimes where when a football program breaks through, they break the door down, kind of. Like, you know, you have that game where suddenly everybody's like, okay, they arrived. We have to stop sleeping on these guys. And you would love that type of performance. So it's always possible. I'll take for Nebraska any win, any way it comes, whether it's by a point or by 21 points on Saturday. They're obviously a slight underdog, but there are, when you go through each position group, I think you can say it's neutral or Nebraska has a small plus, very small, you could write in some areas over Michigan. And that sort of question that has always been there for 8 months is sort of that front, Nebraska's D-line front, because it's the one spot where there's so many newer guys where you like feel like in 2026, they're going to be really good and maybe they're going to be good in 2025, but we're not so sure we're ready to say they're running that fast around the track. And this is the type of game where you figure that out a lot more. So yeah, that's the one thing I wonder. It's like if Michigan lines up and early on they're running for 5 or 6 yards, you know, we kind of, everybody slumps down a little bit because that was the concern going in. But I'm more curious than I am pessimistic about the defensive line. That's the way I'd put it. Just curious, like what it's going to look like.
Sure. On it.
Well, I know Matty O and Jeff have maybe a couple more questions if you have a few more minutes, but I also wanted to ask, switching gears for a minute, what's the latest on the recruiting front?
Oh, well, this week's going to be huge. As far as the recruits, a full list is going to come out here a little bit after I'm on the podcast. But I mean, I know for sure they've got some guys who are like 4-star top 50 players in the 2027 class. Like a couple of them are like Juju Johnson and DeVay Williams were guys who were in Lincoln in June at that, you know, when there was a 7-on-7 showcase and the huddle stuff was going on. So I think Nebraska's ahead in the 27-28 classes, than they have been since Rule got here. Like they're further along in the relationships. The big thing we've always talked about is, can you now win 9-10 plus games, or win a game like you're talking about on Saturday, where in front of those guys, it's just nuts and you're playing great football. And it's like, okay, these recruits who are top guys are like, this is now an it program again. It's not like, oh, we can help build it up. They're actually rolling right now. And I think that could go a long way in them having I think they're going to have a top class in 27. Like when I say that, I mean like a top 15 type of class. I think they can do that.
Wow. Yeah. And we'll take that. We will gladly take top 15. BC, I'm just curious, what are you seeing from this year's Nebraska team that's maybe different from Matt Rhule's first two teams in Lincoln? And I don't think necessarily mean just like the numbers and the stats and the wins. Is there something that maybe you're seeing that's a little different?
You know, what's interesting is a couple times he has said last year's team, he loved the guys. He didn't always like the team. And they had a few guys on there, I think, that aren't here now, and that is fine. And I just think they believe, and this is always easier to say till you lose a game. You lose a game, then you see it, how good is your culture really after that. Mm-hmm. But I think they feel like that when they made that trip to New York City and you kind of survived the those 2 or 3 weeks of portal chaos in December and the coaching moves with Tony White and the guys going to Florida State and all that, and you saw, okay, who's standing here still as a Husker? We're going out to New York. It's this game. I know the rest of the country doesn't care that much about it, but it means a lot to this team right now to go win that game, check that box. And these are the guys who are going to be here the next year. I think they felt like they took a big step in having sort of a high percentage of the right guys in the program at that point, without a couple guys who are maybe slightly stains to the program in a way that we didn't even realize sort of behind the scenes. And so I do think their culture is better. And I know culture is a word people get kind of tired of because it's hard to define in the off season and you just hear it spread around. But when you hear like Rocco Spindler and Desan McCullough and some of these guys who are different programs come in and talk it up and like how the mat drills are here and comparatively, I just think it's a team that really does have a standard that guys believe in. And now it would really help them to win a game like this. So you take that next step in belief where you're just like, okay, now it's really going with it. But that's probably the biggest thing in year three. You hate to make too much of that year three narrative sometimes that he's had, but I do think he's a culture builder and he's done it at his other programs. And I think they feel pretty good about how that's happening here right now.
And kind of to piggyback off of that, BC, and you mentioned it too, just I'm glad you said it, just the law, like how's the team react after a loss and the culture. We may not win the same. Hopefully we do. We may not. Yep. Regardless of the outcome, does this Nebraska team have the highest ceiling out of all of Matt Rhule's teams so far?
Oh, yeah. No question about that. And part of it's, too, I think he's got the right coordinators. Like, I mean, that like Dana Holgorsen, I mean, he's one of the names in college football. Like, everybody knows who Dana is, wherever your area code. So to have him as your OC, and then Eckler, as I said, had some of the best work of any special teams coordinator recently. John Butler, I think people are intrigued by. They're waiting to see what they think for sure about him, and this is a big game for that. But that's a big part of it. I think they've taken a step with their coordinators. And then I can't overstate it. This is a big deal for, like, Dylan Raiola is a five-star quarterback who could have went to any program. He could have went to Ohio State. He could have went to Georgia. And I was struck when we were at Big Ten Media Days in Las Vegas, there was like two or three questions in a row he got about Ohio State, like, because he was committed there once, from the Ohio State writers. And I think sometimes we got to appreciate the story we're watching in front of our eyes. This guy came to the place that did not have it all going for it and had to be built up. And he said, I'm going to be a part of that process. And, you know, he could have got paid a lot of money other places too. So that it's not all about that. So I just think this is a huge game for him. And these guys like Dane Key and Isaiah Hunter, who came to play with them. They wanted to play with Dylan. You've got this moment where you've got a quarterback that other skilled guys want to be around and operate with. And so if you can win a game like this, you can really feed that idea even into the next year. Obviously, got to keep it going. But to your point, if you lose this game too, you hope that you have the right culture that I was talking about, where you say that's not the end of the season yet. Like let's get it back. But obviously, it'd be a big deal to get it.
The ceiling is the roof, as Michael Jordan
was. I'm ready to put the pads on and run through a brick wall. I'm not sure about you guys. Hey, BC, real quick, I know you've been doing this a long time, and you've probably been to most or all of these places, but obviously the Huskers play at Minnesota this year. They play at Penn State. They play at the Rose Bowl. Is there any particular road game you're most looking forward to? They were just at Arrowhead.
Yeah. I suppose it's the Rose Bowl. I mean, UCLA is a dumpster fire right now. You don't want to take that game for granted. But the Rose Bowl itself, when you go to it, is always exciting. Penn State, if any Husker fan or media person who has ever been there will tell you, it's like one of the hardest stadiums to actually get to. It's kind of cool when you're in it, but it's a hard travel game. I always love the Minnesota game. I think it's good for the fans. It's easy to get to. People can spend the weekend up there. And that's going to be a pivotal game in the schedule. You have that list of M's. It's Michigan, Michigan State, Maryland, Minnesota, the four M's. And that Minnesota game on a Friday night is, I think, if you were to say, hey, as much as we're going to hype up this Michigan game, circle one game back in August, where I'm like, Nebraska needs to win that to sort of shift this thing. It's that Minnesota where they've really had a problem with the Gophers lately. It's a game like that that means as much as this one that's in front of us.
Yeah. What of those places has the best spread for the reporters? Food wise.
You know, back in the day, Penn State, it's almost like a church potluck there. It's like,
God.
Yeah. It's like some ladies bringing stuff. Yeah. So that was pretty.
Jeff hates potluck.
I got to disconnect right now. I can't hear this.
I'm not saying, but that's what it is. They only had like one bathroom up there because the press box, I think, built before Paterno took over as head coach. But Penn State had a decent spread. I'm trying to, Minnesota, maybe. I don't know. I could be speaking. Minnesota has the dilly bars.
They
put out. So, yeah.
How was it in Kansas City?
It was okay. I think they served their better
barbecue.
They might serve their better spread for the Chiefs, but I'm not going to complain. It's whatever. Yeah. Whatever you set out in front of me, I'll eat it.
Has the change to Aramark for concessions, has that changed what food's available at Memorial Stadium for the press? We've talked to Evan a lot about this. So,
yeah, it a little bit. There's been some. They had a little like breakfast taco bar going on last week, and I like the idea, the concept of it. So, there's been a couple tweaks up there too. So I always appreciate you again put something out on the table. I'll take it. I'll take a try at it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to complain too much. I just won't eat it if it sucks.
back to Penn State real quick. You're going to need that one bathroom because after a few hours of eating room temperature potato salad, you're going to be in big trouble.
Yeah, that fair enough. Fair enough. I don't have great commentary on that.
Nor do we expect you to, BC.
Yeah, you can put those two together, I suppose. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Jeff. I know. So the Minnesota game's on a Friday night. I know you're a Twins and Vikings fan. I don't know. I mean, I think that's playoff time for baseball. But
Twins aren't worried about that. Trust me.
are the Vikings in town? Are you going to hang around for the weekend?
They are in town. I'm not going to hang around. I'll be back in Lincoln on Saturday after that one. It is a cool schedule this year, how it's set up with the, I love when there's actually a Thursday, Friday, a couple of those games, because you can actually watch football, the next day, which is appreciated by me. So,
yeah, absolutely. Well, BC, awesome to see you. Thanks so much for your time. Common fans, check out all of Brian Christopherson's great work at 247 Sports. All on the recruiting and all the comings and goings of the Husker football team. And BC, I know you're a journalist, and so you have to be objective, but let's go ahead and bring home the W on Saturday, all right?
hey, I am objective, but I like when there's a energy around Nebraska football. We need that juice back in the fall that goes into October and November, and there's starts to talk about like, oh, they're underranked, you know, and all these conversations. You start to scoreboard watch a little bit. Yeah. I'll say Nebraska 24, Michigan 22.
Let's go. We'll take it.
If there's any game, like how long has it been since we've been a ranked team? Has it been
Oregon 2016?
If there's any game that this should break that curse, it's this one. We're talking a barely ranked Michigan team. They've already lost to OU. We're at home. It's going to be loud. I think we got this one. I do. I truly think we're going to win this.
So you don't think we can beat Penn State, Jeff? Is that what you're saying?
I didn't say that. Just take it easy, all right?
Yeah, no, despite my comments earlier, Brian.
Players might get food poisoning at that game. We're definitely not going to win that game.
we'll take any W against Michigan for sure.
Absolutely.
In the 1-point W. All right. Thanks to Brian Christopherson. Hey, Common fans, be kind to each other. We'll be back at you soon. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Holy moly! Man, woman, and child did that. Put them in the aisles.
And Nebraska takes the lead. And the national championship is Nebraska's.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.